tkiyas for Nisach HaMayim. Interesting thing. There's no tkiyas for Nisach HaMayim. Let's take Rashi. I'll see it around later. So according to Rashi, there never were tkiyas. One would think that Simchas Beis HaShoeva, where should the tkiyas be? Nisach HaMayim. No tkiyas for Nisach HaMayim. Why not? There's a reason for it. The reason is that the concept of Simchas Beis HaShoeva is a unique idea. What's the concept of Simchas Beis HaShoeva? The concept of Simchas Beis HaShoeva is really that the person is someach, like the Rambam says in the end of Hilchos Lulav. In the end of Hilchos Lulav, so the Rambam says in the last halacha in Hilchos Lulav, Simcha sheyismach ha'odam basiyas ha'mitzvah o ba'avas ha'kel sheziva bahen avoda gedolahi. All right, this is a big avoda. The person that does not experience the simcha, so it's not just he's missing a mitzvah, but he's involved in a serious onish. Royally par mimeno. And that is the in the klolos. And Ram says, "V'chol amegis daito v'cholay kovod la'atzmo mischabed be'ena of b'mkomos elu." A person that seeks to that seeks after self-respect in these areas, chote v'shota. Okay, v'alzei is a shlomo v'omar al tishader lifnei melach. V'chol amashpil atzmo umekal gufo b'mkomos elu. Person that degrades himself in these areas. Who are Godla Mechubad Ove Me'ava? That is really the person that is the truly respected individual. V'chein David Melech Yisrael Omar Nekalosi Od Mizos V'yisi Shofo Be'enoi V'ena Gedul Ovar Kavod Elo L'smoach L'fnei Hashem Shenema V'amelech David Mefazez V'machar Ke L'fnei Hashem. That's the Ram's conclusion of Hilchos Sukkah. So what does it mean? So it means the Rambam really is explaining Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Why were the tkiyas bedafke by the she'iva and not by the nisuch? Because nisuch, everybody wants to do nisuch. Nisuch is an avoda, it's part of the mikdash. But she'iva samayim, to go and to carry the water, to do the degrading work, and she'iva samayim is the most degrading work. Because the givonim, and not only givonim, but whenever you take over another nation, so what do? You make them shovei mayim v'chot ve'etzim. That's the lowest thing. Shovei mayim and chot ve'etzim is the lowest thing. So therefore, the tkiyas shel simcha are precisely not when you do nisach hamayim. When you do nisach hamayim al gavim mizbeach. Of course, everybody. That's a voda. But the real avoda, the philosophical avoda, is where the person is happy to do the she'iva samayim, to degrade himself, to do the lowest form of work for the mikdash. That's the real simcha in the mikdash. So that's why the tkiyas were not for nisuch. According to Rashi, there's no tkiyas for nisuch. Only for she'iva. Psichas she'oron. And according to the Chachamim, was every step. Psichas Sharam, going down the steps, Psichas Sharam, and then Psichas Sharam again. So the way the Teresh Baal Peh formulates the Tkiyas, it's not in Teresh Baal Peh, Teresh Baal Peh formulates the Tkiyas, is that they are precisely the area that a person is most removed mentally from in terms of feeling a sense of self-respect, in the very act of Shiva, in degrading oneself. So and this kiyum is basically a kiyum of what? This is the highest. The Rambam says this is the highest level of the kiyum of simcha. That's really the simchas amigdash. That's the simchas amigdash. The highest level of the kiyum of simcha. So the highest level of the kiyum of simcha, can only be where the person is involved in a maisa, which is self-degrading. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Why is that? What does it mean, basically? What does it mean? It's interesting because, you see, the pasuk of Shafta Mayim Besasom, in Mayne Yeshua, is really, what does it mean? I mean, what does it mean, Shafta Mayim Besasom, in Mayne Yeshua? What is the Mayne Yeshua, and what's the Shafta Mayim Besasom? What does the pasuk of Shayo mean? So we take a look at Rashi. So Rashi explains, Shafta Mayim Besasom, he says like this. Usha'afta mayim besasun rashes usakablun ufan chados. That you should mekabel a new learning. Okay, mimayne hayeshua ki yarchiv libam. Speaking about la'osid lavo ki yarchiv. God will be marchiv libam al yedei Yeshua habalohem. He says, through the Yeshua, God will expand their hearts. Over here it means their knowledge. Over here, lev means das. Ayedei Yeshua bolem. V'yizgalu lohem rozei haTorah. And at that time, it will be revealed to them the secrets of the Torah. Sheneshtakhu b'bovel oedei tzaras. Or neshtakach and the gullus through the tzaras that the Jews lived through. So shaftem u'shaftem mayim besasson imayne Yeshua really means the real shaftem mayim besasson is the sasson that a person will experience when he understands the secrets of the Torah, the true ideas, the rozei haTorah that were neshtakach because of the golus. That's basically that's really the shaftem mayim besasson. So the shaftem mayim besasson, the simcha. The ultimate simcha is only through chachma. And that's why the Shiva Samayim, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the Shiva Samayim, is all in Torah Shebal Peh. Because that simcha is only possible through Torah Shebal Peh. Could not be possible. Torah Shebachsav, that's what the Rambam says, Yesh lo remozim in Torah Shebachsav. Remez for it. But the essence of it has to be Torah Shebal Peh. Because the only way that a person can reach the Rozei haTorah is through Torah Shebal Peh. And that's why that's why the concept of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the Shiva Samayim, Shafta Mayim, based on the Pasuk Shafta Mayim Besasson, reflects the ultimate Simcha that a person can experience only when he has knowledge of Torah Shebal Peh. That's an interesting thing. So what is the combination? How do you combine these two ideas? The one idea, Yishayoh, Shafta Mayim Besasson, which is Pshuto Shel Mikra. I mean, Rashi's not saying a far-fetched pshat, because it's obvious. Shafta Mayim Besasson, Mayim Yeshua, what is it? It's obviously a marshal. I mean, you have to be a big chacham to realize there's no special well. It's called Mayim Yeshua. But Shafta Mayim Besasson, Mayim Yeshua is a metaphor. So the metaphor is for the simcha of chachma. What kind of chachma? The chachma of understanding the secrets of Torah. The Rozei haTorah, Sheneshtakhu. How do you combine that idea with the idea of the She'iva Samayim? In other words, that the Simcha of the Tkiyas was based upon the She'iva Samayim, degrading oneself. I think that that it's not difficult to see the transition. What it means is that a person. Is usually concerned about his social standing, how he stands, his self-respect in the eyes of the people, in the eyes of the masses. That's the most powerful emotion of man. So what the pasuk says, the most powerful emotion of man is to gain acceptance, adherence among people. That's the most powerful emotion. So over here, what Yehuda says is just the contrary. That the way that over here Shafta Mayim Besasa and the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is that when does a person really reach the heights of perfection and Simcha is where the person degrades himself. That's what the Rambam says. Where he degrades himself in front of the eyes of the people. In other words, where he does something that the people frown on him and look down at him. And it doesn't bother him, because even though he loses the respect of the masses, but he knows that in reality he's doing something that is truly deserving of respect. That's Dovid HaMelech. Dovid HaMelech is in the Kalosi Od Mizos, because that's what Michal Bashor said, because she came from, as I said, how Man Nechbar Hayom Melech Yisrael. He was degrading, because they saw his body and his coat. It wasn't for Melech. This is not a Melech. He lost his status as a Melech. So, in the eyes of the people, it was a degrading thing. He said, on the contrary, in the Kalosi Odmizos, for Yisi Shuffle Bein. So what Yehadis teaches a person in Simchas Beis HaShoeva is that how could a person arrive at Rosei HaTorah? The only way a person can arrive at Rosei HaTorah is if a person can overcome his desire and his need for acceptance among people. And if he can forego that and tolerate abuse in order to be engaged in an activity which is really shvach hashem makom, if he could do that, then he will be that's only such an individual could be zocha to shafta mayim besasa mani hashem, which means to say that the secrets of the Torah can be revealed to him, and he can enjoy the true simcha of the Chochmas HaTorah. That's the tie. That's really the essence of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. That's the essence of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. That's what Ram says. A person who's monei atzmo because he's afraid of his status, as monei atzmo is not just with regard to doing a dance. It really means with regard to the difficulties is not in the technical performance of a mitzvah. Difficulty is in life. It means that in life, if a person is guided by what the Hamon Am think of him, and that's what guides him, then he's a chote and a shote. And this person cannot be zocha to the true simcha, which is the simcha that the person has when he understands and sees the Rosei HaTorah, the secrets of the Torah. Shaftamayim besasam imayim yeshua. Basically, that's the message of the Chag HaSukkos. As the Rambam says, Chag HaSukkos is simcha gedola b'migdash. And that's really, but the Rambam, it's an interesting thing. Over here, the Rambam doesn't mention the Shaftamayim besasam. Why? Because basically what the Rambam is saying is like the Rambam says in the that the technical halacha of Shiva Samayim and Tkiyas, that belongs in Hilchas HaKabonis, you say. But over here what the Rambam is explaining is the philosophy of Yehadis. That's what the Rambam says, Afo Pisha Kol Amodos Mitzvah L'smoch Bahem. So the pasuk really, the Rambam is showing you that the technical halacha that we learn from Torah Shebal Peh really finds its source ultimately in the pasuk in the Torah, smachtum ufnei Hashem alakechem shivas yamim. That's what Rambam is saying. And what is it? It's not just because that's what I said in the beginning, that over here you're dealing with the technical halacha, but the technical halacha is really transformed. I mean, it's transparent that this technical structure is really an expression of a philosophical idea of a smachtum ufnei Hashem alakechem shivas yamim. It's not just Chag HaSukkos. Really, it's the whole concept of Mikdash. That's really the whole concept of Mikdash. That's why Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov held you can't have Tkiyas Shel Mizbeach over here, because this idea is the most powerful idea in Yehadis, and this idea is the idea that leads a person in the Derech Hashem that leads him to Rosei HaTorah Shaftamayim Masasam. You can't detract from this idea. You can't have Tkiyas Shel Mizbeach in such a place. That's what Rashi says. that called Kiyas Alolu shall Shara Elder Atahta Vashara Mayim Shamilia Mayim Ho Hilkoch Larova Lomelit Kiya, a call on it Kiyas the Mosifim Bechag, Einon Elo Mishum Ushafta Mayim Asas. It means to say that this idea is such a powerful idea that you cannot dilute it by it. You can't share these tekiyas, cannot be shared, these tolski, you can't share these tekiyas with anything else. Even with Mizbech, even with the idea of Mizbech Kapara, which is a central idea in Yahadis, that Adam Imakam Kaparasa Nivra, and it's a continuation from Yom Kippurim, but nevertheless, the idea Shaftamayim Basasan is so powerful that it would be inappropriate to share the Tzkiyas Shel Simcha from a Shaftamayim Basasan with Kaparas Mizbech. That's basically where it was with Yaakov. Because Kapara is important. See, Kapara is important for a person. A person is a chote, he has to have Kapara, and he has to have a relationship. The relationship with Kol Yisrael has to continue, that's true. But what is the whole essence? That's simply Sur Merah. But the ultimate kiyum, as I say, Tov, is the positive activity of the human being where he's engaged in uncovering the Chachmas HaTorah, Rozei HaTorah. That's based upon the ability of a person to degrade himself and to forfeit the acceptance of people in order to be engaged in the world of the true ideas. And that you can't share those tekiyas, you can't share with anything else, even with Mizbeach. The other shita, that's a shita of a chacham, basically. That's a shita of a chacham. But we happen to paskin that it's not a tarta desasri. And it's not a tarta desasri. We hold that both ideas really merge. Sur Meirah, that's the idea of kapara, and Adam Imakum Kaparasa Nivra, and then the Asei Tov, they merge. And we hold that as long as most of the tekiyas, nine of the tekiyas emphasize the concept of a shafta mayim besason and the simcha shel mitzvah and the simcha of rozei haTorah and tarshu b'al peh and the ability of a person not to care about what other people think about him, as long as that's emphasized, is nothing wrong with having the tekiyas shel mizbeach join in, because basically the Kiyas Shel Mizbeach Adam Imakum Kaparasa Nivra is part of the process of Sur Meirah V'Asei Tov, so it's not really a Tata D'Sasri. That's how we paskin. Basically, that's Machlekes. Yes. The point is that's the difference between the Shitas HaMusar and the Shitas of philosophy. The Shitas HaMusar is saying that you should condition your emotions. So now it doesn't bother you if you do crazy things in front of people, so you'll condition yourself to the point where it doesn't bother you what people think. So therefore you'll be able to do the proper thing. Yeah. But the real idea of what the Rambam is talking about is that the person's soul should recognize reality and understand that real kavod, a real abuse for the soul, is when the soul is engaged in something which is good or something which is evil. That's the real abuse. And the psychological abuse is only something which is an illusion. So it really is it's an understanding, and it's based upon an understanding of reality. It's based upon a certain internal reality system of the soul, where the soul's reality revolves around what is real and true, and not what is emotionally affects a person. So if the person reaches that level of reality, then he shouldn't need the conditioning. You understand what I'm saying? Shouldn't need the conditioning. Unless, I mean, unless, like the Rambam says, a person has some kind of a disease. Where the person, the Rambam says, the person has some kind of disease, so then he has to go to the other side. It means he may have, the Rambam would not say a person should never do such a thing. It could be that a person has a problem over there, has to work on that problem. That's why the those who were against the Shitas HaMusar, that's what they meant when they argued. They said that it's that Musar's for cranker. I mean, Musar's for people that are sick. Why not sick? That's what it is. I mean, in other words, what they're saying is that if a person is healthy, like the Rambam says, he's in a healthy state, so then obviously he doesn't need to do that, because it means to say that once he recognizes the true reality is guided by the true ideas, so this simply shouldn't bother him. I mean, there should be a realization that this is not important. This just seems, it's an illusion that this kavod is something. But in reality, it's nothing. Reality is only one kavod, and that's the kavod, that's the kavod that a person receives when he's, in God's eyes, doing the right thing. That's the real kavod. Okay, so it means that the person is in the true world of reality. So he doesn't need. That's really the purpose of it. It's not the purpose. In other words, the purpose is not to degrade oneself. The purpose is to realize that's not real. That's just an illusion. It may feel good, but it's not real. It's like the Rambam says. It's layatzel v'layola. It really doesn't do anything. Except the emotions are very attracted to it. So the person has to recognize that that's an illusion, and the true kavod is really the kavod of the soul receives by living properly. That's the true kavod. Okay, recognizing God. So that's the perfection. The perfection is an internal one where the soul is turned towards reality. If the soul is turned towards reality, you don't have to have any kind of practices like that. And unless you're telling me that a person has some kind of a problem, like the Rambam says, sometimes a person has an emotional problem, so he has to go to the opposite side in order to correct the problem. Okay? So that's basically where one would say that such a practice would be appropriate. The Rambam would say in such a case where a person has a problem with that kind of a thing, where it's not rational anymore, it's just something which is... He's overpowered by an emotion. He has a problem with a certain emotion. He's not within the realm of... He can't control that because he's not within the realm of the normal personality. Okay, so then the Rambam says that certain things you have to do, like certain medications. You can still take medications for the soul. So then you'd have to undergo such a process. But that's extraneous to the idea. Because... If a person would undergo such a process and would correct the soul, then he's back, he should be back in the normal realm where his mind can guide him to what's real and what's not real. And he can live accordingly. And that's really what the realm is saying. Okay? No, he doesn't feel. On the contrary, that's what the Rambam says. The kalosi od mizos, v'isi shofa b'inai. And he says, he's on the contrary. They didn't experience any displeasure. He was very happy to do it. I mean, that's simcha can't be, you can't be a sameach and be upset. Simcha means that the person really feels simcha, absolutely doesn't care. That you're talking about kavod hamakom and kavod from people, this just doesn't exist. The kavod of people is non-existent. That's mecharker umefazes becholos. It means all his energies were in that simcha. Didn't even bother and think about it. It's nothing. Zero. That's the definition of simcha. It's not the person has a problem, he's doing it, he's forcing himself. I mean, okay, so then he's not b'chol onesh. That's what the Rambam says. He says, b'chol hamoneya atzmo. B'chol hamoneya atzmo b'simcha zu roi li par b'menu. Shenem, atas rovar ha-shem ha-kev ha-simcha tu leva. But so if your moneya is your, then the person is chayav an onesh. But the ultimate form of the mitzvah is really where the person is engaged in simcha, where nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Yeah. In other words, the point in the Rambam is that if a person is on one side, so he should go to the other side to break the midah. And then he should be able to remove the obsessional quality from the midah. Because the idea is that when a person becomes obsessed with something, so they start thinking that they can't live without this. That's part of the obsession, is they feel they can't live without this. They must have this. It becomes like an obsessive kind of quality. So therefore, if you go to the opposite side, so then you see that you do very well without it. So the person, but it's not a normal person, that's being pathological. But so the person sees that they can't exist without it. A person that's shut off and that has a certain taiva, so they go to the opposite side. A person with a taiva for fancy cars, so they should drive a jalopy. So drive a jalopy, so they'll see that you don't need this thing altogether. So it was purely an obsession. So that's the idea of going to the opposite. That's the Rambam. The Rambam's tikkun ha-nefesh is that in a normal individual, many times, somehow or other, the person becomes attached to something and thinks that they have to have it. So you go to the opposite side, so you live very well without it. So you live very well without it, so then you remove the obsessive quality from it. That's the Rambam's therapy. In terms of breaking a midah, that's the going to the opposite side. That's why he says go to the opposite side and come back to the middle. The purpose is not to be in extremes. The purpose is that the emotion should be under the world of chachma, under the world of the rational. And sometimes you're caught. You go to the opposite side. You break the midah. You show yourself that you don't really need it. You think you need it. You actually live very well without it. So once the person comes to that realization, it breaks his obsessive attachment to the thing. That's the Rambam's. That's the Rambam's method of tikkun nefesh. Yeah. Good question. I mean, we see that you see that Chazal were really concerned about the Talmud Chacham appears to the Haman, and they were saying you should forget about everything. Don't worry about how you appear to the Haman, right? Okay. Now the answer is that the whole purpose of the Talmud Chacham's appeal for the Haman is only for one reason. I mean, it's only in order that the Haman should see what the true ideas of Torah are. So therefore, in a place where he should be expressing simcha, if he refuses to degrade himself, so then he's teaching the Haman a wrong concept, a wrong idea. So therefore, the whole purpose of his appeal to the Haman is really so the Haman should learn from him. So when it comes to doing the right thing, if he's going to consider, he's going to compromise what's right in order to gain favor in the eyes of the Haman, then the whole thing's worthless. It's all butlum of butl. The only reason that the Talmud Chacham must be concerned about the Haman is so the Haman should use him as a model. Okay. But if the model becomes corrupt, I mean, then what's the whole purpose of it? Then it's Kavaratz Modarish, all things worthless. Okay, so therefore, a person is never permitted to compromise anything in Yahadus, whether it's Derech HaChayim, or whether it's philosophy, or whether it's Halacha, whatever it is, you're never permitted to compromise in order to appeal to the Haman. I mean, you can't be political in Torah. Political in Torah is Tata Sasri. That's basically what he's saying over here. But so you say on the contrary, you get big of a political argument. No, it's Melech Yisrael, so therefore he's Dovid HaMelech, and therefore he has to maintain a certain dignity, certain personal dignity, in order to be able to accomplish. But the answer is that when it's covered a makom, to maintain personal dignity is the biggest gaiva, and that concept is abhorrent. So therefore, if he would engage in such a thing, then the whole thing's worthless. Then the whole Kavod Malchus has no value. The whole purpose of Kavod Malchus is to get people to perceive Kavod Malchus, for the Bar Elam. But if it becomes an instrument of if it becomes an instrument of his own Kavod, then the whole thing's bubble. You don't need the whole thing. What do we need it for? Okay. So that's why you can't compromise when it comes to the when it comes to Yadis. Any kind, there cannot be any political considerations. I mean, that's or compromise when it comes to it's an interesting thing. It's not just when it comes to breaking a halacha. I mean, over here, it means, okay, so he wouldn't dance so much. So what if he danced in a nicer way, and his jacket didn't fly up, and he didn't degrade himself as a melech? So he could have done that. I mean, it wouldn't be an issur, it's an issur b'davar. I mean, where's the Sein HaTorah and the Chiyuv to go out dancing wild? No, but the answer is because this was appropriate. It was the degree of how, of expression of mephazes and mechaker is what is warranted. Okay, it's what's warranted over here is that the person should be lost with regard to the self, and therefore, if he compromises that, so he's compromising Kavod Hashem, and any compromise in Kavod Hashem, no matter how minuscule, is absolutely a distortion of Yadis, and Yadis doesn't tell her right in the compromise. Interesting thing. So what does he have to do like that? I mean, that's basically what Michal Bashal's argument was. Okay, so you have to dance in front of the Yaron's, very nice. But there's a way to dance. A melech should dance in a certain manner, maintain his self-dignity. And he said, no, on the contrary. That would be a compromise, because then I would be doing something which is really connected the idea of Kavod Hashchina. Kavod Hashchina demands that the self is lost. The importance of the self and the significance of the self and the dignity of the self is no concern whatsoever. And if he would compromise, so then it would be a then the whole purpose of the Kavod HaMelech and the Kavod HaTalmid Chacham is no purpose for it. And it's Kavod Atzmo HaDarash. Okay. Yeah, good question. Now, why is Sukkos the Chag for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Now, the answer is this. The answer is basically because, you see, they both, the both things in Torah Shebaal Peh really start from Yom Kippurim. As Yom Kippurim has two lines from Yom Kippurim. One is, like we said last week, you don't walk away from Yom Kippurim and say you have a kapara, slicha mechila kapara, and now that's it. No. You have to. That's true, but you have to recognize the importance of mizbeach, the concept of mizbeach, the significance of the Chesed Hashem that He gave us mizbeach, and that's the ongoing idea. Your own chataim and your own onshim, fine. You know, a person has a right to be concerned. Shmatam al nafshasechem, but that's not really where it's supposed to end. So therefore, mizbeach is a continuation from Yom Kippur. And the Simchas Beis HaShoeva as well as a continuation of Yom Kippurim. Because Yom Kippurim is really where the person is involved in seeking out the evil in his nature and removing it. Okay? Yeah, but that's just the beginning. Basically, the purpose of that is to take those energies and to channel them for the ultimate objective, which is Simcha, Tachsa Shabbat, Simcha Tuv Levav, to be Oved Me'avah, but Simcha Tuv Levav. That's really the objective. Shafta Mayim B'Sasam. So therefore, Yom HaKippurim is really Machayev in the concept, in those two. One is the appreciation of Mizbeach and understanding Mizbeach and Kapara. And the second thing is to take the emotions and to channel them into the ultimate, their ultimate purpose. And the energies must be invested. Ultimately, this is what the whole objective of man is: to invest the energies into the simcha of avodah lokel. Simcha of avodah lokel. And what is the ultimate form of the simcha of avodah lokel? The ultimate form is shaftamai nesasam, and mayne yeshua is the uncovering of the rosei Torah, the ideas of the secrets of the Torah. That's really the ultimate level of simcha. So it both starts in Yom Kippur. That's why, why does the Rambam say, even though in all the Moedim is Simcha B'Migdash? Because what the Rambam is saying is that that's really Simcha B'Migdash. That's the whole Simcha B'Migdash. Simcha B'Migdash is Simcha Avod L'Kel. And what is Avod L'Kel? Avod L'Kel involves technical halacha in the Migdash, but ultimately, it involves the soul, the soul's involvement in Torah Shabbat Peh and Chachmas Hashem and the Shachmai Masas. Okay, what he was demonstrating is the simcha of dancing before the Aron. It means that that the person can only reach perfection where the self is lost. Where the self is lost. That's basically what he's saying. He did it because that's the right thing to do. No, there's no question that there's a connection by Netilas Lulav. Because the Netilas Lulav is also Shvachah Shamachon. Because it's Oz Yiranu Atzeyar. Oz Yiranu Ba Atzeyar. So, I mean, that's also, what is it, that's also, so you see that Netilas Lulav is a Kiyam of Shevach. There's a Kiyam of Shevach in Netilas Lulav. So why is there a Kiyam of Shevach in Netilas Lulav? That's exactly, it's really basically the same idea we mentioned before with Kiyas Shreifa. That it means that the Smach Mufnei Hashem Lekechem, that Shvach Hashem Makom Al Yedei Maisa, I mean Al Yedei Lulav, which emphasizes the idea that Oz Yiran No Batzeyar means the whole universe is Mesaper and Shvach Hashem Makom. We say Yaluch Hashem Lekechem Kol Masecha Yaduch Hashem Yaduch Hashem Kol Masecha. So that's the idea of Oz Yiran No Batzeyar. Means everything is Shvach Hashem Makom. The Batzeyar, the creation, every aspect of the creation. So that's Shvach Hashem Makom. That's Shvach Hashem Makom. Finish off with a small Maimar Chazal that we didn't have a surface. I think it's an important one. The Gemara says in there, the famous Gemara, if you go in Beis, Gemara says like this: Tana Rabbanan, Shtei Shana V'Machza Nechleku Beishamay Beishol. 2.5 years out of Machlekes. Halalu Amrim Noach Lalavim Shalom Nivra. Some say this better person wasn't born. Yosef Mishanivra. Halalu Amrim Noach Lalavim Shanivra. Yosef Mishalom Nivra. Nimnu v'gamru, so after 2.5 years of arguing, they finally came to a conclusion. Noach lo adam shelo nivra yosem mishenivra. Be better for a person if he weren't born. Achshav shenivra yefashreish b'maisav. V'amri lo... Yeah. Achshav shenivra yefashreish b'maisav, v'amri lo yemashmesh b'maisav. Okay. All right. So Yefashish Maisav means Shaosak Varvi Yivdok Aversha Biyodov Yisvadiv Yoshev. Yemashmesh Maisav Gunam Bom Mitzvah Liyodo Yachshov Hefsid Mitzvah Keneget Schoro Velo Yoniach La Soso Bishvila Hefsid Shere Schoro Osid Lovo Vim Bos Liyodo Avera Yechashev Schoro Shemistaker Bo Achshov Keneget Hefsida Ho Osid Lifarim Medav. Okay, so basically the question is, I mean, what was the machlekes, and the question is, what's the conclusion? And what's the conclusion? The conclusion is ahashta shenivra is yifashresh masav. So, and if you didn't have this machlekes or yimashmesh, let's say yimashmesh masav. Okay, yifashresh masav means shosukvai give the gavur shabir v'svar v'yashav. Okay, so it means to say that he should do tshuva. Okay, let's take a second one. Yimashmesh masav. Ganim bala mitzvah liyado, so you should figure out. Yachshov Hefsid Mitzvah Keneged Schara. Okay, and he should weigh both sides, okay, and see what the benefit, which way is more beneficial. That means to say that he should understand what the gains and the losses are, and should make a proper decision. Okay, and then Bos Liyado Avera Yachshav Schar Shem Estaka Ba'achshav Keneged Hefsedo Asli Lifarim Men. Okay, so he should basically consider Chaye Olam Habo against Chaye Olam Hazeh. Okay, I mean, what kind of a conclusion is that? What is more, and if not, I mean, this is what's Machayev you to do it. I mean, everybody knows that you should be Chos B'tshuva, and everybody knows that you should always be Fashir Maisov. So what kind of a conclusion is that? I mean, the question is no nivra. I mean, that's the question. And the conclusion is yifashish masav. I mean, what does that have to do with it? And if you wouldn't have this machleika, so you say you shouldn't be chaz b'tshuva. I mean, of course you be chaz b'tshuva. You're a person chaz b'tshuva because of chayei olam haba. What's the question? Yeah. Yeah, it seems to be that, I mean, and if you wouldn't have this machleika, so then you wouldn't have to live properly. I mean, what is the Gemara saying, basically? So what I want to say is like this, that what the Gemara is saying is, like what Chazal is saying is as follows. What's the machlekes? The machlekes is like this. The machlekes, of course, everybody knows that the Hilchos Tshuva. I mean, that's not in question over here. Okay. What the Gemara is saying is the question, the machlekes that they had is whether or not a person, let's say, a person has an optimum situation. He's fortunate in life and he doesn't have any real significant tragedies. So the question is, can you say when you weigh the person's life at the end of his life, did he have more pleasure, psychological pleasure, or did he have more psychological pain? See, that's the question. The question of Noach Lonish Lonivra. First of all, how could they ask whether it's Noach Lonish Lonivra or Noach Lonish Lonivra? I mean, God decided, apparently, Noach Lonish Lonivra. So that's the end of the question. Now, philosophy is very nice, but you have to work with the facts. You have to work with the facts. Facts is that God decided the person that Vayikra Shema Mar Yaveva Nasa Adam. Okay, so that's the end of it. But no. But what it means like this. There's no question that no matter how much psychological pain a person endures, that ultimately it's worth it if the person has perfection. Yeah, there's no question about that. You see, I mean, in other words, you say, because God created man for the Tzelem Elokim that he has, which means to say that, look, whether he had pleasure yesterday or not, now it doesn't matter. But what matters now is how much chachma the person, the soul, has acquired. Okay? And eventually, when the person dies, so it really makes no difference in retrospect whether he had pleasure or not, or even pain, well, the only difference that abides at that time is the question of the soul, the state of the soul. So there's nothing to argue about. That's why you can't ask a question on God's will to create Adam, because it's infinitely worth it. But the question that they were discussing was simply another question. The question is that insofar as human psychological happiness is concerned, is human life worthwhile or not? Assuming that a person has an optimum situation. Is there such a thing as really a good life? What we call a good life in terms of the end of the person's life, the way of seeing, was it psychologically, would you say he had more happiness, more pleasure, or more pain? So that's a difficult question. So there you had a machlekes for 2.5 years to determine whether or not his life is worthwhile, given the fact that, let's say, a person has a good situation, okay? So basically, Aristotle concluded that it was worth it. As Aristotle says, that life is enjoyable. Now, as a person lives like a chacham, so life is enjoyable, and you could say that psychologically he had a good life. It was worthwhile. But Chazal, one position was like Aristotle, the other position argued. In final analysis, they concluded against Aristotle, that basically, no matter how you work it, the end is going to be that the pain, the psychological pain is going to exceed the psychological pleasure, because that's the nature of the psychological. But what they said was, yifashfeshemaisav, what they said was that the mishenivra, that if the person lives according to chachma, and insofar as the person lives according to chachma, and living according to chachma ultimately means removing himself from concerns about this existence and being involved in more important matters like Talmud Torah and perfection. I mean, that's what it means. It means the person should live a life of perfection. Insofar as the person partakes of perfection, you see, what remains will always be of a better balance. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, like this. Because, you see, what is it? They're not weighing, for instance, I mean, could you weigh the simcha that the Vilna-Goyen had when he turned the blood of Gemara and was Mechadish and was Mechadish Chedushim? I mean, you're talking about Tanayim over here. I mean, The simcha of a person ain't simcha kada kataras asvegas Ramban. So the simcha of learning is unbelievable. So what are they talking about? What do you mean? How could you say such a thing? But the answer is they're not talking about the simcha of Torah and perfection. That's what I'm saying. That what they were talking about was the residual, the simcha that a person has, ordinary psychological happiness, what people call the common idea of happiness. In other words, the psychological. That's what the argument was. So what the answer was is that basically no matter how you work it out, it'll always come out, it's not worth it. You eat it up, it's always going to be more pain than pleasure. But Misha Nivra Yefashvesh B'Maisav Yemashmesh B'Maisav, it means if the person, insofar as the person lives a rational existence, and the more he devotes his energies towards perfection, then whatever remains will be more favorable in balance. So you'll never reach the point where it really is worth it for that aspect of life, but it'll always be better insofar as you go away from it. In other words, insofar as you go away from trying to achieve the psychological, and so far as you're concerned about, like Rashi said, the asid lavo, I mean the true existence, and so far as you're engaged in that, then whatever remains will be better. You follow what I mean? That was basically the conclusion. That's what Chazal said. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, what the argument was psychological, insofar as the person exists psychologically, is a psychological being. Okay? That means Ram devotes the first parts of the Yad to the psychological. And he talks about certain aspects that are purely psychological. And he talks about the Chacham and the Chassid. Different, okay? What Chazal were discussing was the psychological. And what they said was that the psychological is of such a nature that the more the person goes away from the from his desire for psychological pleasures and enjoyments, okay, the more he's away from that, and the more he's involved in the true world in terms of psychological pleasure. That's the conclusion.
Yeah, right.
You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? That was the machlokes. Because the machlokes wasn't. You can't say the machlokes was no. What do you mean? Lived all his life was Eishkin Torah, and every minute he's enjoying Chachma, you say it's not worth it? What kind of an argument is that? What do you mean? It doesn't make any sense. But that's what I'm saying. What the argument was about was psychological, the ordinary psychological pleasure. Could you say that it's worthwhile for a person to have an existence? This life has pleasures, has pains, there's a balance there. What about that balance? They were theorizing about whether it's worth it or not. You see, not in terms of whether life is worth it or not. That's Nasa Adam, Eikar Shemam Adam Miyami Baram. Akash Baruch Hu created man. That's the right thing. There's no question about it. And the simcha that a person gets out of Chachma and out of Torah and out of Siyas and Mitzvahs properly, that kind of a simcha, like the Rambam says, that's the greatest simcha. So how could it be bad? It's impossible. So, but the answer is they're not speaking about that. They were speaking simply about the psychological. That was the theoretical argument. And therefore, they concluded, that was the conclusion. The conclusion was that it's never going to be worth it, because it's always intrinsically, we don't know, I mean, obviously there were theoretical arguments that went on for a long time trying to evaluate. How do you evaluate this thing? But the conclusion was that intrinsically, apparently, it's not going to ever be in favor of pleasure in the long run, in the end. But insofar as the person is not concerned about that, and he's concerned about the soul, the perfection of the soul, insofar as he's away from that, he's concerned about the real existence of the soul, whatever remains of his activities in the world of the psychological will always be better. Will always be better. That's the conclusion. Yeah, Taisha says that. I'm giving a different answer. Okay. The fact that Taisha says that is a corroboration to what I'm saying. Because basically he's saying it's the psychological. Okay, yeah. But I'm saying, I mean, basically saying it's the psychological. So it's a corroboration of what I'm saying. But I'm saying that you could even say, the way I'm explaining it, it would be everybody. You know, what they're saying is that insofar as you're engaged, you're moving away from it, whatever remains will be better.
Okay.
Exactly. Scharala Sidlovo is the movement away from here. It means, because a person can be Osek in Chaye Shaw, like Chazal say, or in Chaye Olam. So insofar as the person is engaged in Chaye Olam, alright, insofar as the person is engaged in Chaye Olam, whatever remains of Chaye Shaw will be better. Will always be better. But no matter how good, the Chaye Shaw still is not, when you add it up, is never going to be worth it. Because there's always going to be more pain than pleasure. But the Chaye Shaw will always be better insofar as a person is moving away from it and is engaged in Chaye Olam. That's basically what it is.
Okay.
In other words, there are methods of approaching it. There are methods you can implement to gauge it. Doesn't mean that they sat back and just added up pleasures and pain. There are methods that that you could use. When you understand the nature of the psychological, there are methods of analysis that you could use to determine. I mean, to determine whether or not it's more pleasurable or less pleasurable. There are methods of doing that. I'm not going to go into it now, but there are methods of doing it. And obviously, they knew the methods, and that's why they had a discussion. Otherwise, well, there was nothing to discuss. Okay? I mean, at first, it sounds like, hey, how would you do such a thing? You know what I mean? So, in today's society, they try to quantify it with some kind of a study. But Chazal had a different method. Okay? They studied the instincts, and they studied the nature of the instincts. And once you understand how it works, there are ways to gauge whether or not you're in the long run, you're gaining, you're losing. Okay? That's what the discussion was for 2.5 years. Yes? And Chazal studied a lot of things. I mean, you want to know what's the relevance of understanding it? I mean, the relevance of understanding it is understanding Ma'aseh Hashem. That's the relevance. You don't have to do something just for practical relevance. I mean, all knowledge is relevant. I mean, that's the approach, that's the godless of Chazal, is they weren't just concerned about the practical. They argued about something which you'd think, so who cares? What do I care whether it's psychologically more pleasurable or less pleasurable? The answer is, everything is Chachmas Hashem, and the more a person understands Chachmas Hashem, the more perfected he is, and everything has practical relevance. Long run, there's no area that should not be learned, should not be studied, because it's all Chachmas Hashem. And this area as well. Can have very important, very, very, very important results in the knowledge of this particular question. Okay? See, what Shlomo says is, V'shabeach ani es ha-mesim she-kvar mesu, me'achayim ha-shayim chayim ha-dena. Okay? So it sounds like it's suicidal. Right? I mean, so why doesn't he say the best thing is to commit suicide? The answer is that is never, such a thought is impossible. Because philosophy is an understanding of life, and life is a given. So it can't be a philosophy of suicide. Philosophy of suicide can't be a philosophy because you're going against life. I mean, the given is that, that human existence is. So you're saying it should not be? That's virtually impossible. But a person in analysis, a person can be in a state where he wishes that his life had already passed. See, he accepts life, but he wishes it was ready. He would have lived 100 years ago, so he would have been, he'd be happy if he would have lived 100 years ago. You see, because the enduring the pain of existence is something that he has trouble facing. That's an expression of a philosophical point, you see. Philosophical point. But never do you have an idea of, never do you have an idea of taking one's life. I mean, that's not philosophy. It can't be. It has to be wrong. It has to be wrong. That's the Chazal can't decide whether. I mean, that God decided already. There's no room for philosophical. The only thing you can do is to try and understand it. But it can't be right that it's nevra if God decided nevra. Okay. Complete in the last couple of weeks. So the first one is I want to finish off the Gemara in Ervin. Okay, the Machlekes of Noach Laladim Shalom Nivra, Noach Laladim Shenivra. Okay, and the second thing I want to finish off is the The idea of the kasha we asked by Yashir. Okay, we didn't really answer it fully. Okay, and I think it's an important principle. Okay, so let's first go back to that Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara says that they argued for 2.5 years. Nechlekeh b'shem basilo halal lomer noch lodem shalom nivra yosem mishenivra lomer noch lodem shenivra yosem mishelon nivra. Okay, and nimnu v'gamra. So this I explained once that if they're not olal minyan, you can't have a rov. Nimnu v'gamra means they're olal minyan. That's the halacha. Nimnu v'gamra. But what was the machlekes? So we said the machlekes, we explained, the machlekes cannot mean whether it's better for man to exist or not to exist. I mean, that's a fact that it's better for man to exist. God already determined that. Okay, nasa adam etzal menikid mesenu. So that's not a machlekes. That's not a machlekes, because there is no question that it's a noach lal adam shenivra, because the purpose of man's existence is because you can partake of the eternal. So we can never weigh the temporal against the eternal. Okay? So therefore, as much pain and suffering as a person goes through in this life, ultimately it's always worth it if he partakes of the eternal ideas. Okay? So therefore you can't have an argument like that, because I'll never even entertain such a question. Because that would be only a shallow person would have such a question. That the purpose is only the physical part of man, not his mind and his intellect and his chachma, which is his essence. And no matter how much difficulty a person goes through in this existence, but the fact is, if he can partake of ideas which is the essence of his nature, and it's the eternal part of man, so it's worth it. So there's no question. That's not open for debate. Chazal would never debate such an issue. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, but we explained the question that they were analyzing is that if you minus, that wasn't the question. The question was, you minus out the world of the ideas. But they were simply questioning in the psychological, in the world of the psychological, there's pleasure and there's pain, general life. So the question that they were raising is, on a psychological plane, would you say, after a person's life is over, at the end of his life, if you weighed and you measure the psychological pleasures that he has against the psychological pain, which would be in the favor, the scale would weigh in the favor of what? Of which one? Pain or pleasure? So that was an argument. That was an argument. That was an argument they had for 2.5 years. Okay? So I'm not going to go in right now to what the nature of the argument was and how they, and what kind of proofs they adduced. I mean, it wasn't a survey, obviously. I mean, it was based on ideas. Well, maybe I'll just mention one or two things later, but let's just leave that for the moment, okay? But that's what they were discussing. So then they concluded that if no matter how good a life a person has, even if he has the most favorable kind of existence possible, nevertheless, at the end, when you weigh it all up, it's always going to be in favor of pain, no matter what. But then it says, "Nimnu v'gamra." They said, "Umisha nivra is umisha achshav shenivra. Nimnu v'gamra nechlah shalom nivra. Yosim shenivra achshav shenivra. Yefashresh masav amr lo yemashmesh masav." Okay. So what do they say? They said that no matter what, it's always going to be more painful. The psychological is never going to give him more enjoyment than pain. But now that he exists, the most favorable outcome will be if he is yefashvesh v'masov, or if he's yemashmesh v'masov. If he does those two things, then whatever remains of the psychological pleasure or pain will always be in the most favorable balance. Okay? In other words, briefly what they're saying is that insofar as a person... let me get into what's machlekes. Yefashresh masav, yemashresh masav. What does yefashresh masav mean? So Rashi explains, yefashresh masav means b'masav she'esh she'osa kvar v'yivdok averos she'biyodo v'yisvada v'yoshev. Okay? So of course, again, I mean, we use this as a proof that the Chazal weren't questioning, of course, the person that she was a mitzvah, and the whole philosophy of Shuv, and the whole understanding of Shuv. That wasn't the question. But what they were saying was that if a person avails himself of tshuva, so then his, then whatever remains of his psychological life will be most favorable. Most favorable. It'll never be better in the long, whenever you wait, it's always going to be deficient, but it'll be as best as possible. Okay? So what is the concept of tshuva? I mean, what is the idea of tshuva? What's it got to do with tshuva? I mean, well, tshuva is something that Rambam says, a person's a chote, has to do tshuva. But why are they bringing tshuva over here? But the answer is because the whole philosophy of tshuva, and that's something that, that I think that we mentioned many times, the philosophy of tshuva is that tshuva is not simply when a person does a chet, so he does tshuva. But tshuva is part of the process of existence, of life, of human existence, which means that in tshuva, it means a person, since a person is instinctual by nature, he's always, he's always going to fail. He must fail. Impossible not to fail. Biggest tzaddik has to fail. But he has one thing. He has the ability, since he has a memory, so he has the ability to remember the events. What a chazas, every day, Talmud Chacham does tshuva, remember the events of the day, to replay them, and to analyze them, and then to study them. That's your fashvesh masa. To study them just like a stranger would study a science. That's the ability of that person. That's your fashvesh masa. Fashvesh masa means that a person has a unique ability, as subjective as he is, but he still has the ability to withdraw from himself if he reaches a certain level, to withdraw from himself into an impersonal state of mind where he just objectively studies the history of events that he has before his mind's eye in his own personal life and analyzes them and he studies it like a science. So he studies it, he should be able to reach the point where he studies it like a stranger would study somebody else. And then through studying his actions, he has a history and if he studies and analyzes his actions, so then he could change the course of his of his future existence. That's the idea of that. That's your fashvesh masa. So if a person has that ability, so then he will have a rational existence. He can have a rational existence. And insofar as he has a rational existence, so whatever psychological, of course, the rational existence is going to lead him into a different world. I mean, into the world of Chachma, into the world of Mitzvahs, into the world of Torah. But by doing that, whatever psychological he partakes of will always be most favorable. That's the first shot, Yifashash Masav. The second shot is Yimashmesh Masav. What is Yimashmesh Masav? Mishmash means to feel. So Yifashash means to examine. Yimashmesh means like a person, like Kasher Yimashesh Yivabathel, means you feel before you do it. It's before you do it. That's Yimashmesh Masav. Fashvesh is afterwards. Yimashmesh means he should send out feelers, so to speak, before he engages in activity. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi is going to bar mitzvah liyado yechsha yechashev hefsid mitzvah keneged schara lo yaniach lasoso b'shvila hefsid sherei schara osid lovo then bas liyado avera yechashev schara shemistaka bo'achshav. He should figure out what the benefit is that he gains now keneged hefsido ha'osid li'permanent. Okay. So that's our king, your emotional baruch hashem, which means that a person has to be in a position, not, in other words, that he keeps yahadus not out of conscience, not out of a certain kind of a religious emotion, okay? But he should keep yahadus based upon chachma. That's what it means. That's what Rashi says. So it means that he should be able to figure out. Kigon, like Rashi says, in Bali Yado Avera, Shechashev Schoro, Shemistaka Ba'achsha. He should figure out what the benefits of the Avera is. The Avera has certain benefits. He should be realistic, examine what those benefits are, and then weigh that against what the losses are. But it means he has to have a knowledge of both. He can't just say, it's an Avera, I can't do it. That's it. I mean, that certainly is better than doing Avera. But that's not the level that Chazal is talking about. Yimashmesh Masav means that he has to have the ability to understand realistically. His mind has to be able to understand exactly what is he gaining in the instinctual, and by partaking of the instinctual, what is the loss in terms of the real world. Okay? So what it means is that the person must be able to examine life, to understand what he is. Again, I mean, to understand and to know that he has the ability to partake of a whole world that is eternal, the world of ideas, the world of Chochma, and he has to be able to weigh the loss of partaking of that against the gain of partaking of the temporal. So it means to say that before a person partakes of anything, he has to be able to examine and to weigh and to understand, okay? The difference really between your fashresh v'masav and your mashresh, fashresh v'masav and your mashresh v'masav is basically both the same. I mean, what they're saying is what Socrates says, but I think they said it a little better. Namely, that the unexamined life is not worth living. Okay? But the only thing is, Chazal are much more specific. And they explain it much better. But they explain that the unexamined life really partakes of two things. In order to be able to examine life, you have to have two qualities. I don't think it's a machlekes. I do not believe it's a machlekes. V'amri lo is, it's mar machada, mar machada v'lapliti. The question was which way they express themselves. Because there are two things that a person needs in order to be able to live the correct life. One is the ability to examine life properly, objectively, in terms of establishing the correct value system. Okay, and that's your mashmesh masav. To analyze, what do I gain from the instinctual, and what do I gain from the world of Chachma, from the world of the eternal? And weigh and understand, the mind must be able to see clearly what the losses and benefits are. Okay, once a person understands that, then he can guide his future existence. That's your mashmesh masav. But your fashresh v'masav means besides that you need something else. Because the instinctual will always catch a person, so always take hold of a person, overpower him, so he has to have the ability to remove himself from the situation, after the situation, and to replay in his mind the events, and to analyze where he went wrong and where he caved into the instinctual forces, and why. Okay, that's your fashresh v'masav. Both are necessary. What Chazal is saying, in order to have an examined life, both are necessary. It's ma'amar chodah, ma'amar chodah lopli. So basically what Chazal is saying is that if a person does do that, if a person engages in the rational life, both in terms of the objective value system and also in terms of examining the personal, and he lives a life of Chochma insofar as it's possible, then what remains of the psychological enjoyment of life, which is not really the purpose of human existence, but whatever remains of the psychological, you see, will always be most favorable. We'll have a much better, much greater enjoyment when you weigh, at the end of his life, when you weigh his psychological pain and pleasure, it'll be closer, better, more on the pleasure side than if he does not live a life of Chochma. That's basically what Chazal is saying. Okay? Yeah. The only thing I would add is that in terms of the types of arguments that they adduced, I would simply say, I mean, we can't know, it's just conjecture. But what I would say is it had to be based on an analysis of how the instinctual works. Because somebody asked me, somebody said, what do they care? So what if us all interested? Whether a person, in the long run, ultimately, at the end of their life, if the person is going to add up, they had more pleasure or pain. So who cares, really? What was the... No, but the answer is because everything that exists and everything that God created, when we examine it, we gain benefit. And even something like psychological pleasure, the examination of psychological pleasure and the understanding of it gives us insight into our nature, you see. So basically what the method of analysis that they used was an analysis of the instinctual, the nature of pleasure. The nature of pleasure. As you know, I mean, philosophers have shown that every pleasure, almost every pleasure, must have tremendous pain, because the pleasure only exists as long as you have the desire. And the desire is always pain, because the desire means you're missing something, so you're always in pain. And the moment you satisfy the desire, then there's no more pleasure. So pleasure is linked very closely to pain, and it would seem on the surface that in order to have pleasure, you always require pain, and perhaps even more pain than the pleasure itself. Okay? And this is the nature, the approach, the type of analysis that a person would use. It wasn't an analysis. I do not believe it was an analysis of taking a survey, because that's a modern techniques. But those techniques are very deficient, because they're very superficial type of analysis. But the analysis of Chazal is an intrinsic kind of analysis. Analysis of studying the thing itself and understanding the nature of the thing, examining it. But apparently, the big debate was whether in the world of pleasure and pain, it's always going to be more pain, or no, it's possible that the pleasure is greater. As a machlekes. But the end of the machlekes, after 20 years, then the v'gamru that it's true that the nature of the instinctual world is such that you'll always have more pain than pleasure. Nevertheless, insofar as a person plunges himself into that life, he's increasing tremendously the ratio of pain to pleasure. The more he directly goes into it, the greater the ratio of pain to pleasure. The more he goes away from it, the greater the pleasure is with as opposed to the pain. The ratio is greater on the side of the pleasure. Okay, that's basically the Chazal. Okay, I just wanted to complete that. The reason why I have Nimnu V'Gamru. Nimnu V'Gamru always, you see what they want to show by Nimnu V'Gamru. You're right. Now, Allah Garina, we explained that Nimnu V'Gamru means you can't say Achar Rabin Lahatos unless you have a minion, unless you're Olal a minion. That's why I have Beisham and Beisil never weren't or didn't want to be Olal a minion. But why are they doing it over here? It's a good question. Over here is not halacha. So why are they saying nimnu v'gamru? The answer is because they want to show you the extent of the machlekes. That originally the machlekes was so diverse that each school held that they can't be olal minyan. They were convinced that they were right. But in the end, they agreed that the side that maintained that the pain is greater was correct. So they use the same terms as they did in the halachic sphere, not because it's a matter of being all meaning to paskin, but it means that there was a meeting of the minds in the end. Originally, they had two different arguments, and apparently they were so far apart that they wouldn't even be all meaning. Okay.
Yes.
You're right. That's Neil is saying is correct. There are pleasures that do not have attending pains. For instance, if a person is riding in the car, and suddenly they see beautiful scenery, they never expected it. Suddenly it happens upon them, and they have tremendous enjoyment out of it. That is true. In those kind of instances, there is pleasure without pain, because there was no desire. That's correct. But one must admit that those instances in life are very rare. Because generally speaking, a person is driven. If a person wants to go see beautiful scenery, then they're filled with a desire for that. Filled with a desire that's involved in preparations and expenditures of time and energy and money. And they're filled with desire until they get to the place that they're looking for the pleasure. By the time they get there, they've gone through tremendous pain. But you are right. It is possible in life. And that's why those experiences in life are very rare, and usually you remember them. Because if somebody suddenly comes to your house and gives you a gift and you didn't expect it, you really have to thank the person doubly. Not only for the gift, but for not telling in advance, so you don't have any pain. Surprise. Right, right. Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. That's definitely true, and that's why I think that if a person would reflect on their life, they see that those moments were very enjoyable. because precisely because they didn't have to anticipate and be involved in the world of desire before they got the pleasure.
We all desire that love.
That's definitely another point. That one philosopher mentions that after you have pleasure, he says, after you have pleasure, you're either in depression because the pleasure's over, or else, he says, you're immediately filled with desire. So there's one philosopher I argue, which seems to be correct, that so that after the pleasure, you pay the price because you had a pleasurable few moments, and then suddenly you're back to the drab existence. So then you're in the world of pain. So either it's depressing, or else you fill yourself immediately with another desire in order to move on, in which case you're in a different kind of pain. So I mean, those are the kind, there's no question about it, that those are the kind of arguments. I mean, we weren't there. It'd be nice to see how they argue these points out for years, you know what I mean? But apparently they had methods of, they finally arrived at some methods which were, which they were able to ascertain definitely that it's going to be always going to be more more pain. Who enjoyed Taivas Elam Hazeh more, Albert Einstein or Rockefeller? The answer is Einstein. That would be an example, because Rockefeller was in the world of Taiva, so all his energies were in that world. So the pain in the end of his life was immense, as opposed to the pleasure. Whereas Einstein, who really wasn't looking for that, and so you look into his psychological life, he had a much, much, much more enjoyable existence. Much more enjoyable existence. Psychological. The psychological pleasure. Yeah, even with regard to an Einstein, insofar as the psychological realm, it still wasn't worth it. Fazal, I'm not talking about when he's immersed, insofar as the person's immersed in his chachma. Because insofar as the person's immersed in his chachma, certainly it's more pleasurable. There's no question about it. Because who could have more enjoyment? I mean, even the world says. I mean, there's a Heine Damrinchi, like Fazal said. The world said, who enjoys life? Scientists and baseball players. Yeah. but what it means is, because even the world recognized, I don't know if it's true anymore today, because today in the world of science it became already competition. But I guess by baseball they mean a person that can go back to their childhood. But that's not true either. But anyways, but the they don't do that in the world of baseball either. But the point is, insofar as chachma is concerned, there is no doubt that a person that really enjoys chachma, that's what Taisa says. That it's not talking about tzaddikim. That's what I take Taisa to mean. He says, "Inam echal ayir b'stam b'nei adam aval tzaddik ashra v'ashedar." What Taisa means is that the insofar as an individual is a stam b'nei adam, he means the regular, ordinary pleasures. See, Taisa already cited the. What are Chazal talking about? So what do you mean? How can you possibly say that Nerach Lolan Shalad Nivra? Because a person who's involved in Chachma, had a whole day of endless enjoyment. I mean, every idea, every thought. There's nothing that gives a person more satisfaction, even on I'm talking about the soul, on a psychological plane, than understanding and knowledge. It's exciting. It's an adventure. Basically, that's why Chachma, by the way, doesn't have the defect of desire. Because in Chachma, your every step is enjoyable, because the question is not a desire for the answer. The question is the enjoyment of seeing something that is astonishing. Okay, that's like what Moshe Rabbeinu said: "Asura nova eres amara agod lazeh, madua lo yivar asneh." It's an amazing thing. The mind is amazed. A person that has the desire for the answer—that's an egoistic desire. But the mind doesn't really look for an answer. The mind is amazed at the sight. The sight itself is, the question itself is something which is enjoyable and amazing to the mind. And then the answer is even more enjoyable. So in the world of thought and ideas, you don't suffer that defect of the desire. You don't have that defect. If the person is learning the Shema, if the person really is looking for Chachma. So there's no question that a person that's involved in that world, insofar as the psychological, it's infinitely greater. You can't even compare it. It's not even up to question. But that wasn't their question. See, that's what Taisa says. Insofar as the life of the tzaddik is concerned, ashrei lov, ashrei dora. It means insofar as that person's life is concerned, definitely there's infinitely greater pleasure than pain. But insofar as his ordinary life is concerned, that's what they were arguing about, the ordinary life. Insofar as the ordinary life is concerned, can you have a life? An ordinary life, the person enjoys ordinary things, a certain psychological enjoyments you have in life. And the question is, are they worth it or not? So that was Nidna V'Gamru, and not.
Yeah. You want to point it out?
Correct, that's correct. Yeah, in the area of learning also, that's why, on the contrary, a person isn't initially drawn to the area. He has to pull himself away from the instinctual in order to involve himself in learning. I mean, until a person reaches a certain level where the mind is constantly in the world of thought, but there's no draw. There's no draw. You're right. You know, as you don't fantasize about the pleasure. You don't fantasize about the pleasure of ideas.
Right.
That happens to be true. You know, it's an interesting. You fantasize about the instinctual pleasures, but you don't fantasize about the pleasure of ideas. So there's no. You don't have the frustration of the desire there. So it's a different kind of mechanism. I don't think anybody really understands how it works. But apparently, the fact is that in the world of Chachma, you don't fantasize about it. That's why when a person sits down to learn, he doesn't really... You're not fantasizing about what's going to happen. But when he starts getting involved in the world of Chachma, all of it is he suddenly sees he's involved in a tremendously exciting world. Okay? So in the world of Chachma, you don't have that defect of the desire. In that world, you don't have... That's why Chazal, we're not questioning that. And so far as that's concerned, of course, it's Noach Lalo Nivra. Yos Mishalo Nivra. But their question was with regard to the normal psychological. The normal psychological. Is man, in other words, and so forth, if you minus out his Chachma, can an animal would appear... That Chazal held that an animal has more satisfaction than pain in general, if he has good conditions. Okay, the animal seems satisfied. I mean, he's instinctual, he's living in a world where the animal's satisfying its needs, and it's an enjoyable existence. But the question was, is man the same way? Or because of the structure, of the intricate structure of the human mind, he lost that. He can't have a normal, happy existence. That's what Lactate says. You want to take the example, take Stam Bnei Adam. Okay, regular Amharts. All right, he has a house, he has a car, he goes to work, a normal life. Can you say that just like a cow existed and had an enjoyable existence, he had an enjoyable existence. That's the area, if you want to examine, that's the area they were examining. See, is there such a thing as normal happiness? I mean, this in our society, everybody's convinced that that's so. The only question is nobody's ever been able to find it. But they're convinced that it's so. But Chazal argued it theoretically, and the conclusion was that it doesn't exist. Okay, yes. See, the desire to know the truth is not to be the knower of the truth, but it's the desire for the truth. So when you have a question, that's just as much truth as an answer. So a question is truth too, because your mind saw it this way. Now you see it doesn't work this way. Oh, that's it. So you're attracted to that. You see, every step along the way, the mind is attracted to it. There's always enjoyment. A person, a real thinker enjoys a question. Enjoys the question itself is enjoyable. I mean, that's the way the Torah describes Moshe Rabbeinu. Asura lo ve'eres amara agod lazeh madua lo yivar asneh. He saw asneh, v'hine asneh bar v'eshra asneh nene uko. No cause and effect. Where's the cause and effect? So what are the way he described it? A sort of error. It means that he was entranced by the problem. The problem. Where's the cause and effect? He wasn't in pain. On the contrary, he was drawn to it. That's what I think. In this society, people are convinced that is true. That you could have a nice, normal, happy existence, you know, a nice family, a nice house, nice car, nice job, this. Doesn't exist. Pure fantasy, pure illusion. That's Nidna V'Gamru. I mean, they gave it a lot of thought. And they concluded that it's false. That's it. That was the issue. Aristotle maintained that if a person, I mean, that's to a certain degree of rationality, but he maintained that life is enjoyable. He disagreed. He held the opposite view. He held that a person that lives rationally, he held... That the psychological enjoyment will be greater than the psychological pain. That's what he held. In my opinion, the principles that were uncovered in modern psychology show that Aristotle was wrong. It seemed that way on the surface. You could present some arguments that if a person lives, he held, if a person lives according to Chachma, that he could have a more, even the instinctual could be more enjoyable, because life is pleasant, life is enjoyable. And a lot of arguments he could use, naturalistic type of arguments, but basically I think that the discoveries that were made insofar as the human psyche is concerned in the last 100 years show that Chazal were right. That's impossible. Yeah. Okay. You mean Bertrand Russell's Conquest of Happiness? Yes, you're right. The Conquest of Happiness by Russell, I haven't read it in a long time. Well, you're right. Now that you remind me, that's correct. He tried to say that you could be, that was the Conquest of Happiness. You want to see arguments, in favor the other side. I don't think he was on the level to produce the arguments of Chazal. But, if you want to see an approach, the way he approached, he was convinced that you could work out your life in a way that the psychological is really worth it. It's worthwhile. It's worthwhile. Yeah. He had some good points, but I remember after I finished the book, I wasn't that happy. But anyways, in my opinion, what was lacking in that book was an in-depth understanding of the structure of the human psyche with its complex, its complex nature. I don't think he didn't have that. He didn't really strike down deep. Okay, but anyways, Yosef Das Yosef Macho is not really a philosophy. Yosef Das, you see, a lot of times in Kehelas, he zeroes in on certain aspects of life. Doesn't necessarily mean that he's giving you a whole, he's summing up everything. He's saying that there is such a thing as Yosef Das Yosef Machov. He's pointing out to something. He's pointing out that a lot of things that a simpleton will enjoy, when he, if he really had a mind to see what's happening, he would be in pain. That's what he's, it's not a conclusion. It's a facet. It's a facet. And in Kehelas you have a lot of facets, you see. So that's, but there's something else I would ask you. I'm not going to that pasuk right now. Yes, it doesn't. But I ask you something else. What is the difference between this Chazal and between Kehelas? In other words, in Kehelas, what does he say? He says of Davar Kol Nishmo, Eselokim Yirav, Es Mitzvos Veshmor, Kizeh Kol Adam. And what do we say? We say that basically he concludes. You remind me. He concludes that what? He concludes that in terms of the human existence, so it's not worth it. And kizek kol ha'adam, that the only thing there is what is basically the real world of chachma mitzvahs, perfection. That's his conclusion. So what's between his conclusion and what Chazal saying? Yeah, that's the question. If Kehelas already made that decision, what's the difference in Kehelas between this? The difference is like this. The difference is Kehelas is analyzing it from a philosophical point of view, and the Chazal are analyzing it from a psychological point of view. In other words, Kehelas is analyzing what life is all about. He's taking the whole life, and he's saying, what is human life? So is it hedonism? Is it this? Is it that? So in the end, he concludes that the only life for man is the life of Chachma. Okay, but he's not going into whether it's not the psychological. It's the life of Chachma. Kizeh kol ha'adam. Okay, but he's weighing the good. What is the good? It's a philosophical question in Kehelas. What is the good? Is the good the non-material perfection? Or is the good to be Moshech by Yayin as Besoro and to be involved in empire building and all these other things? He's analyzing what the good for man is. Okay, and he concludes the good for man, Kizek Kol Adam, is only the world of Chachma. But he's not analyzing whether in the psychological, whether it's worth it or not. That's the question of Chazal. It's a different question. Two different, one is philosophical, one is psychological. Okay. What does it mean? So some people think it means that if you want to know how to perform surgery, you should learn a Gemara. It doesn't make any sense. What they mean is what Chazal mean. Means that Yahadus is built on genuine principles, all true principles. Everything Yahadus is built on truth. So therefore, you should know when you have a Maimar Chazal, Hafokhbo Vafokhbo, the Kulabo, because this is built on the ultimate truth with regard to all reality. So it runs very deep. So Hafokhbo Vafokhbo, the Kulabo, it's all built on everything. Everything has to fit in order for this Chazal to be... since that's the case, I mean, the surface... If the surface has to run very deep because it's all built on underlying truths. That's what I mean. So, yes, me, Chazal, I don't know. I have to analyze. Okay. Okay. I just want to take up one more point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something that we touched on, which was thinking about it, and I saw that we left it go, but really it deserves more analysis. I think it's an important point. We touched on, I think it was a few weeks ago, the concept of shir. Okay, in the Migdash you had shir. We explained last week we were talking about also, right? The concept of shir. Okay, I just want to get back to that for a moment. So in the Migdash, as we were doing it yesterday, I saw that in the Migdash the way they had the shir was there was a seder. On the first day was Kol Hashem Alamoyim, which means they showed that that's Gvuros, that Gvuros Hashem is, Gvuros means that, well, why is Mashiv Ruach Amar Degashim Gvuros? Why is that Gvuros? What does that have to do with Gvura? The rain is a cycle, so what's the Gvuros? But the Gvuros is because the Ashgach v'nasati Gishmechem be'itam, because God intervenes with the general process because of man. So therefore, he is the ultimate power. That's the idea of a gibor. Is a gibor is the one who can change the given situation. That's a gibor. A gibor means a person can have the battle, do battle, and the forces the opposing forces are very powerful, and he can change it, and he can be victorious over the opposing forces. That's gvur. So God is the only real gibor. So God is the only one that is over all the forces. Kol Hashem Alamayim. That's what it means. Havel Hashem B'nei Elam, Kol Hashem Alamayim, Kela Kavad Hirim, Ad Hashem Alamayim Rabim. It means the most powerful forces, God controls them. So that's Gvuros. That's Gvuros. Okay, that's why Masha Baruch Amar Goshem is Gvuros. So that's the first day. Then the second day was what? Second day was... the second day they gave the people Musa. The essence is that the Vela Rosh Amal Akim Malachol Asapar Chukai. So God says to the Rosh, what are you learning Torah for? Rosh has no business being involved in the world of Torah and Chachma. So it means to say that that's a contradiction. That's a contradiction to his existence, and he's just using it in order to convince himself that he's a righteous person. So that's why they gave them Moshe. So he came to the Beis HaMikdash to be Mesameach, but if you're not Chazer B'tshuva and you partake of the Simcha, it's simply hypocritical. It's worthless. Don't even come here. Don't even appear. Don't fool yourself. And then in the end of the parak, it tells you that God says, but if the person does tshuva, then God opens up the roads, the paths for that person to be Chazer B'tshuva. Okay. Even though he's a Rosh. So that's what that was. The second day was Musa. And the third day was what? The third day was excuse me. Third day was they reversed. Right. They reversed. So the third. Okay. The third day was really that even though they were in the second base of Migdash, they were always bitzar, always in pain. But still, the fact that's the Kemat Shachna Dumanafshi, right? So they still, even though they were in tremendous pain, but they came to the Beis HaMikdash to be Mesameach, which shows you it's a whole different idea of Simcha. It's a very important concept. It means, of course, the pagan religions, they come to make a feast, because what they're doing is, the feast is for their gods that gave them a good life. But Klal Yisrael is just the opposite. It has nothing to do with what God gave us or didn't give us. I mean, that's God's chesed. So even though they were bitzar and they were under the dominion of the Romans, the Greeks, during that period, But nevertheless, they came to the Mikdash, and it was Yontif, they were Mesameach, because the Simcha is based upon the reality.